The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
At this point in time, we have an interview for you guys. And we're speaking about Namibia preparing to swear in their first female president. It's historic. And joining us this morning to speak to us on this, we have senior news reporter, Namibia Broadcasting Corporation, that is Salima Henock. Good morning to you. I'm not too sure if she's hearing us clearly. And we also have, while we wait to get the audio sorted out, with our first guest, I'm going to take a stab at pronouncing this name. I hope that I get it right. If not, our colleague, journalist and New Era newspaper in Namibia, Siririka, did I get that correct? Pahia?
You got it correct, Satish. You got it correct. Thank you very much. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Nice to have you both with us here this morning, because this is quite a development that's taking place. But before we actually get into the nitty-gritty of what we're here to discuss, this historic event, Namibia swearing in its first female president, let me allow both of you the opportunity to familiarize my listener with you guys and ladies, so that they can have a greater understanding and respect for your perspective. Let's begin with Pahia. Tell us about yourself and some of what you're involved in.
Well, a very good morning to all the Freedom FM 106.5 listeners, wherever you're currently finding yourself in the beautiful Trinidad and Tobago. I hope the weather is different, because here it feels like we are in an oven. About 35 to 40 degrees is the type of weather that we're experiencing in Windhoek. As a matter of fact, the whole country is pretty hot for the past couple of days. But it's always good to be here. Thank you very much for the invite. We really appreciate it. I'm a journalist from Namibia. My name is Pahia Siririka. I go by the name of TJ as well. So once you a little bit forget Satesh, you can just say PJ. I'm sure you remember that. I've been a journalist for the past 10 years. I started off as a radio presenter for a commercial radio station here in Namibia. And then for the past 5 years, I have been working for the New Era newspaper, which is a state-funded daily publication. But other than that, I cover quite a lot of bits. I'm a general reporter, I'm a general journalist, covering quite a variety of bits such as health, entertainment, youth, politics here and there. But other than that, environment, tourism, and anything that has to do with news, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
that's just a little bit of who I am.
Let's hear from our other guest, that's Salima. Tell us a bit about yourself. I'm not too sure what's going on with the audio with Salima, but as soon as we have that rectified and she's hearing us and we're hearing her, we'll get to her. So the topic at hand is Namibia swearing in its first female president. It's said to be historic, and I'm sure that this has generated a lot of discussion in Namibia about such a development. What are some of the issues, and what are some of the positives that a development like this would send to the nation?
Well, firstly, I think the first development is that it's the main one. Namibia, after 34 years of independence, after quite a smooth transition of powers from the previous heads of state, we are now having or about to have a head of state who is a female. And I think it has gotten a lot of tongues wagging about, you know, already people are talking about, can women lead? I mean, this is not just a Namibian or an African thing. It has been a world phenomena about people questioning the capability of women in such position of power. But when it comes to Namibia and having had quite a lot of developments with regards to women representation and starting off in our parliament, it has the indications were already there, and especially when she was already, you know, one of the female presidential candidates, because she's the only, she was the only female presidential candidate, and that gave so much hope, especially for women in Namibia, that we are actually headed to, we are a progressive nation that is headed to such development where a lady can take over one of the highest offices in the land. So people are excited about it. People are looking forward to the change that this type of change may bring to the country. We have heard of her plans to revive the country. And we're just looking forward to all of those things. But people are excited, especially the youth. The Namibian youth are excited. The Namibian women are excited. And the continental or the international community is also excited. And all eyes are all of a sudden on Namibia now.
Yeah. You know, this is, it's, I'm assuming it would bring with it a number of glass ceilings being shattered, because you're a very young nation and there are societal norms and cultural norms that are being, well, challenged in a very real way by this development. And to understand how big of a deal it is, one would have to understand the societal norms and the cultural norms. And persons in Western society, they tend to not appreciate some of these things and the role that they play in developments like these. This is not just a political development, it's much more than that. Because as you are saying, it speaks to a shining light, a beacon for young women and young people and all those kinds of things in Namibia at this point in time. Because I, from my limited understanding, you have very set ways in which things have been done for a very long period of time, in that there were very specific roles that were allocated to gender. And it's not because, I don't think it's because anybody wanted to keep anybody down, it was oppression or anything like that. It's just the way these societies developed and their cultural norms. So I'm assuming that now that you have this development where a woman has taken one of the highest offices of the land, are there major upheavals taking place as a result of this? Or is everybody okay with it? Saying, well, all right, we need to move forward and this is one step in that direction.
I believe, you know, the climax of this whole change would happen on the day that she officially takes over as office, which will be in March next year. Mm-hmm. And already there are discussions about the most hilarious thing that I came across is people fighting about the, you know, for the longest we've had the office of the First Lady. Now people are wondering, so what would the office of her husband be called? And it has officially been changed from the office of the First Lady to the office of the First Spouse. So already there were discussions and so much debate around, oh, what is the husband of the president going to be called? Is it a first man? Is it a first gentleman? Is it so? And it goes to the societal ways that people have been raised or brought up to sort of stemming certain things because of the norms and the ways that we've been brought up. Mm-hmm. So it has created that discussion. So there is not really much debate about it, but it's just people having casual conversations about, okay, all right, we've never been through this. We've never had this. There's never been a female presidential candidate. This is the situation that we find ourselves in. Where do we go from here? And I think the support, and as I keep on highlighting the youth, because Namibia has quite a large population of the youth. Women, although the disparity between men and women is not that large, they are still very much vocal about politics, especially women in leadership positions. They are very vocal about the importance of having a voice in the political arena. And because there are issues that affect women that are not being dealt with, and perhaps when a person of, you know, from that gender takes over, maybe then their issues will be properly addressed. And they are there are discourses around that, and it's really good to witness these things. So it's a very smooth transition. It's discussions that are happening cordially. Obviously, opposition is not 100% satisfied, but then what is the role of opposition in any political space in any country? They are not going to go and support the ruling party all the way through. So their role is to oppose. They are not happy with the results. But then again, when you are hearing from the Electoral Commission of Namibia about the results, is that even if the results reach the level or a point where they are to be nullified, there are no funds to conduct another elections. So these are just some of the very many, not many, but some of the very few issues that are sort of, you know, being around or that people are talking about. But other than that, the conversation is still going forward that Namibia is excited to have a female president. She joins Tanzania's president, Samia Suluhu Hassan, you know, who, unlike other people like Joyce Banda from Malawi, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf from Sierra Leone, are women who have held these positions on the continent. And it's an exciting phase for Namibia after 34 years of independence.
Well, these are some exciting developments for Africa and for the entire continent, because it sends a message that things are changing. And because we know about the male dominance when it comes to leadership in the African continent, and that's because of structure, societal structure and customs and tradition and all those other things that have been around for such a long period of time. Now, let's look at the campaign that was waged for the election. What do you think gave the president the edge so that she won the election?
I think, firstly, political manifestos are very important during campaigns. Yes, Namibia is experiencing a lot of issues that need to be addressed immediately, whether we are talking about healthcare, whether we are talking about education, whether we are talking about youth and women empowerment, whether we are talking about infrastructural development, whether we're talking about strengthening ties in terms of international relations. But when you look at the manifestos of you know, parties such as the ruling one, they are very much sort of catering to all the issues that the country is facing right now. I know someone who is listening might be, you know, but the party was in charge of the country in the previous administration, but why didn't they do this? So I think it is very important for you to have a very strong manifesto to convince the people why you should vote, why they should vote for you. Mm-hmm. And that means you need to address their plight.
What were some
of the... So in terms of education,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good quality infrastructure is one of the issues that they brought up. And I see that my dear colleague Selima is around. I think she got a proper network. So we'll quickly give her, once I have highlighted, just two very important key points in the manifestos that she highlighted. So she was talking about a stable economy, reducing the poverty incidences in the country is one of the things that have really also affected the country in terms of development. She has also highlighted the need to invest in youth and women empowerment. And because Namibia has a large population of youth, it is very important to cater to their needs right now. I think that to a certain extent, it got her a lot of support.
Yeah. Let's bring Selima into the conversation quickly. I know that you have some issues, some challenges when it comes to connection. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm actually in a remote area. I came to cover a study here and over of land to the Komanin community that has been fighting for some time. So it's network is a challenge. So I've been moving around and climbing some mountains just to find a little bit of network. Yeah. But I'm glad I found some network, and I'm glad to join this conversation. Just as TJ has already alluded to and expanded on the conversation, my name introduced me already as a senior reporter at the Namibian Broadcasting Corporation. but in that, I've been reporting. I'm actually an art and entertainment reporter, but being in the newsroom, you explore different fields, whether it's politics or whether it's health or whether it's other economical issues that rise up within the country. But within that, we are quite excited and looking forward to have a female president, first of its kind for the country. I mean, of course, there are political challenges in terms of how the elections went, with ballot papers that were not enough and also irregularities that were found within the whole process that the political parties that are now taking the whole process to court. And that's also another scenario that will have to come up and that the country has to deal with. But like Steve said, the country as it stands now cannot afford to run another election. But within that also, I remember last week I was interviewing, or I was at the press briefing of one political party that was also part of the presidential race and also just for National Assembly. And what they were saying is that as much as you want to have a rerun of the whole election, you should also take into consideration that we are also infringing on the rights of those that were able to vote and went through the process of voting. So as much as you want to consider those that feel like or think that the whole process was not fair, you should also consider those that stood for long hours in the queue just to cast their vote. So it's a two-way thing. And it's quite a challenge that will come up. But within that, the Electoral Commission has already declared the ruling party, the presidential candidate, which is Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa, as the president. And I think everybody is slowly but surely also coming on board with the concept of having a female president, first female president. And within that also, it's an encouraging... the whole situation is encouraging to females in leadership positions, because within our country also, it's not new to us that we have people in leadership positions, because our prime minister is also female, and also the current winner was the vice president in itself. So it's a thing of saying that we are on board already. Of course, in the African continent, women are known only to be in the kitchen per se. But what we are saying right now as Namibia is that we are ready to tackle the gender issue in the country, because Namibia is also ranking high in gender parity, even in our parliament. We have a lot of women that are part of parliament as well. So it's a thing of saying that we are ready to embrace this. And of course, as I was interviewing some community members when the a presidential candidate was announced and she's going to be a female, they were actually saying that, okay, now we are going to have a female president, perhaps you will understand our needs as females. And also just to bear in mind that she's just not going to be a president for females, of course. She's also going to be a president for the male counterparts as well. She's going to be a president for the whole Namibia. But of course, we'll have a sense of understanding of female issues that we, of course, will be able to advocate for as well. So that's where we stand, unless there's other questions.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your perspective. And I know that this would carry for you as a woman some greater significance as well, because there are messages, subliminal and outright, that are sent by developments like these that we know augur well for development of all societies. But highlighting some of the challenges in the courts and all of those other things, those might shape the atmosphere. Do you all expect things to remain calm, or is there the possibility that things can turn ugly, that this can get, I don't want to use the term violent, but is there the possibility that things might not necessarily go as smoothly as some may want them to, leading up to the inauguration, which is quite next year?
Of course, we, looking at what the political parties are saying, you know, of course, some people are talking about they are not afraid of going to war to fight for what is right and to fight for fair democracy. But in a sense, Namibia is a peaceful country. There have been threats going around, but you also sense that people also do not want to compromise the peace that the country is having already. So it's a thing of course, we are not satisfied with what happened. Like the president was saying, President Angolo Mbumba, that, you know, as much as there were some irregularities that were found within the whole process, it's a learning process for the country as well. And it's a thing of saying that, of course, we are not satisfied, but how can we move forward from this? What can we learn from this? So that come next elections, because we still have the regional council elections that are coming next year, what can you learn from it so that you know that we better the situation next time we have elections again? Of course, people are questioning, but within that, we also find those that are saying that let's not compromise the peace that we are having currently. It's within a person's right or political party to take the electoral commission to court, for example, so that the court can find if there were any irregularities within the process, or it was just some planning that was not done correctly in terms of just making sure that the elections were smooth. But as much as people want to fight this, there are also those that are saying, look, let's not compromise the peace we have. What can we learn from the process that we just, what can we learn from this experience that we just had so that we are not able to repeat it again come next elections? So I'll give over to TJ, perhaps he will add his sentiments as well.
Yeah, I know that we have a bit of challenge with your connection. Your call is not necessarily as clear as we would have liked it to be, but thank you so much for your perspectives. And I know that that's challenging for you to be out on the field and to get the connection as best. But so it was really, really important to get your insight and your input as well into what's going on. Just a general question for my knowledge and for persons listening in. How influential is the post of president here at home? Our president is more of a ceremonial head. Yes, there are roles and functions that are clearly outlined in the Constitution for the president, but that's very limited. And our prime minister is the one who basically runs the show. What's the situation with your political construct in Namibia? Is the president in charge, or is the president more or less of a ceremonial head?
I hope you can hear me.
Yeah. Did you hear the question?
Yes, I did hear the question. I'm just making sure that you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So the president in our country, we have the prime minister, but the prime minister falls under the president. So the president is the overall head of the country. So he runs the country, or he runs the country's affairs, per se. So he has the decision, the last decision, always lies with the president. So he's the head of the country, and he runs the country, per se. And then we have now the president, and then we have the vice president, and then we have the prime minister, and then we have the ministers, and then the deputy ministers, and the executive directors. So the president is the overall overseer of the country.
Mm. Now, let me get from both of you. Summer, we'll get your opinion first, then we'll get PJ to chime in afterwards. Do you all expect this thing to go peacefully towards the appointment of the new female president? Or do you expect upheavals that will prevent that from taking place? Salima.
For us, currently, the issue is really not about the female president, but it's about how the election process went. People are just not satisfied with how the Electoral Commission conducted the whole election process. This is in line with the running out of the ballot papers, and also the fact that people had to stand long in queues waiting for ballot papers, and also just the technical issues that happened with the whole verification process of the machines that were at the polling stations. And some people got frustrated, and then they left the polling stations without voting, and they did not even go back. I think that is where the frustration is right now with the whole process of elections. Mm-hmm. In terms of the whole process going peacefully, currently, on my own perspective, I feel like it will go peacefully. I think people are now slowly but surely accepting that we are going. We have a president-elect that got majority of the vote, and that president is going to be the female president that will come into a position come March next year when she takes up the chair of presidency. So in terms of a peaceful transition, There have been complaints from political parties who are not satisfied, but also we have a portion of people that are saying, yes, there were some irregularities that we found within the whole process, but what can we learn from this process so that we can move forward and learn, know that come next election, what can we do better so that what we experience in this election will not be able to experience it again. So I do not know, perhaps come next year when the president is going to take a seat, we might experience some demonstrations, because they were calling for demonstrations as well, but it's not something that is now, it's only two or three political parties. The political parties that we have, because we have 21 political parties, are not even in unity. They are not working in unity. It's maybe two or three that are saying, let's take this to court, and you find those that are saying, let's have demonstration, we do not accept this result. But you find those that are saying, listen, as long as you are, as much as you are saying that you are not happy with this process, we are saying that let's learn from it, and also don't infringe on the rights of those that also voted and were standing in long queues and casted their vote. They also did their part, and we can also not just cancel them as if they did nothing. So it's a thing, it's like you have two voices and they are not agreeing, and the people are not working in unity. Like I said, political parties themselves are also not working in unity. So I don't really see any conflict going forward, because after the hype was high when it was during elections, but I think now everybody has started to accept the new president that will come into power come next year, and also just the fact that we are going to have a female president. And like I said, Namibia is working towards gender parity, and it's not something that we really are shocked, because we have a prime minister who's also female, and the current the president is coming into power was also a vice president. So it's like we are embracing this, and we are also embracing the fact of saying that we are joining other African countries like teachers alluded to of female presidents that already paved the way for our incoming president, President elect Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah.
Yeah, thank you. Let's hear from PJ. Tell us your opinion of how things will go from now until the inauguration.
Now, I believe I concur with what Salima is saying regarding the Namibians who have come to terms with what has happened and things happened. And I will just reiterate that although there are some people who are not happy, there is still that majority rule. And that's the power of democracy that we are seeing on the continent, that we're seeing in the world. One thing that I would like to bring to your attention is that the president-elect is seen as she's going to be holding that position because of competence. This is someone who was the Minister of Environment and Tourism. She was the Minister of Information and Broadcasting. She was the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation. Mm-hmm. So in terms of leadership, she has experienced all of these portfolios prior to her being the Deputy Prime Minister of the country. And she only became the vice president of the country when the late President Hage Geingob passed on, and she needed to assume that role because of the constitution and her role as, you know, leveling up. So when she is taking over this position, although she's a female, it's not because she's a female, but because of the competencies that she has to lead such a position. Like Salima said, there are parties that are not happy with the way the voting process happened. Namibians stood in queues from as early as 4 a.m. to as late as past midnight. The voting gates would close at 9 p.m, but you will not be, you know, chased away after 9, because you still need to be assisted for as long as you're in a queue. People endured all of that just so that they can cast that one voice for the presidential and the National Assembly elections. So people are smoothening a little bit. There was a lot of tension, but now they are relaxed. They have come to terms with where Namibia is headed to right now. Like I said earlier on, I think people are now also looking forward to the promises that she made during the rallies, the manifestos, the goals or aspirations that the ruling party intends on fulfilling for the next presidential term, sports infrastructure, development infrastructure, capacity building. We're talking about education, quality healthcare, universal healthcare coverage, fostering and strengthening international relations, policies, realizing MOUs, ensuring that plans and ideas with other countries are still going to be fulfilled. People are more now looking forward to that because the conversation on the ground has, the conversations have shifted, honestly. Mm-hmm. From the 27th of November to when the results were released on the 3rd of December to now, the conversations are slowly shifting. And I think we are a progressive nation. Our late president believed in systems, institutions, and processes. This is something that he preached on every day. If there were things that shouldn't have happened in the voting or in the elections, let the systems, institutions, and processes take its course.
Yeah. This is where we're going to have to leave our interview here this morning. It's a really interesting discussion about how not just the politics, but the people are directly impacted and so many elements of people's lives. And their traditions, their customs, these unspoken rules and guidelines, everything, they're all affected one way or the other. Positive, some people see them as negative, some people aren't too sure what they should be thinking about them. But I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and giving us an insight into this historic development. And I'm sure that maybe closer to the inauguration, around that time, we'll have another conversation about what's going on, unless there are developments so serious that they would warrant another installment of our discussion. I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and telling us about what's going on. It was my pleasure speaking to both of you.
Thank you very much. The Morning Rumble is our home now.
It is.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's how we drop our curtains on our interview with our guests. Spoke to us all the way from Namibia about what's taking place with their president and their shift and all the other things that were involved.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.